The Project on Government Oversight has released 13 recommendations for Congress for government reform. Within those are plenty of issues for the Defense Department. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni spoke with Mandy Smithberger, the director of the CDI Military Reform Forum, about what the reforms mean for the Pentagon.
Every 2 years, POGO releases its Baker's Dozen list of legislative and oversight priorities for Congress. And it goes across the issues that POGO works on. So we look at whistleblower protections, we look at contracting reforms, we look at the VA, we look at the Department of Defense. And this is kind of our to-do list for Congress to make sure that the government is as open, effective, and accountable as possible.
And obviously you're the Project on Government Oversight, so whistleblowing is very near and dear to your heart. What kind of reforms did you put in there for whistleblowers this year?
For whistleblowers, we really want to make sure that those protections that are in place are both effective and meaningful, because otherwise they're not going to result in having better returns for taxpayers. And specifically, we want to make sure that there are proper due process rights for national security sensitive positions, that there are meaningful protections for intelligence contractor whistleblowers. And we would really like to see federal employees have access to jury trials for whistleblower retaliation as well.
And the intelligence community's kind of had a weird whistleblower situation since Edward Snowden. What's been going on with that?
Absolutely. So for a long time, there have been no protections for intelligence community whistleblowers, and those that have been in place haven't really been effective. Right now, there is a Presidential Policy Directive 19 that was put in place after Edward Snowden to provide some protections for intelligence community whistleblowers, but that is only a directive. It can be taken away at any point, and we would really like to see Congress codify that into law.
So the intelligence community reforms for whistleblowers, how far would that reach compared to, say, DOD or a domestic agency?
So we would really like to see those come as close as possible to what we have for any other federal employee. Contractors are particularly vulnerable to retaliation because of how they are employed, and the process for actually having effective deterrence it just takes much longer as well. And so they're fired. They're not allowed to be, you know, put on administrative leave and that kind of thing.
Right, right. I wanted to move on to buying commercially. That's something that DOD is always talking about. They want to buy commercial all the time. What kind of reforms do you think DOD needs to get to where it needs to be in that realm?
So one of the things we want to make sure is that when the Department of Defense wants to buy something commercially, we agree that they should take advantage of those prices and innovations. One of the issues that we've had, though, is contractors who are selling items to the Department of Defense as a commercial item that actually isn't a commercial item. And in those instances, we've found huge price increases for spare parts and for labor services that are provided without the adequate documentation to show that that's really a reasonable price. And so we'd like to have changes to the law to make sure that when it's not really a commercial item, that contracting officials can get access to pricing information to make sure that price is fair and reasonable.
So that's something that would go through the Defense Department pricing, like Shay Assad's kind of role?
It would, and Shay Assad was actually working to strengthen those laws, but has met a lot of resistance in Congress and industry for those who would not like to see that pro-taxpayer reform put in place.
As for acquisition reform, that's something that Congress has been working on for a while, and they've been trying to change. What do you have in your study that differs from what Congress has been working on?
For the most part, when it comes to acquisition reform, it's really about how do we make sure that there's accountability in the system when there are cost overruns, when there are waivers from, you know, good practices to make sure that we are delivering effective and affordable weapon systems, that there is accountability in place. So while it's been great to see that Congress is so engaged in this issue, what we would like to really see them be engaged in is holding these programs accountable for when they fail. So that means in some instances that maybe people need to be fired. In some instances, programs need to be canceled when they're not performing. And that until you have that occur, you aren't really changing the incentives in the way that you need to make sure that these programs are successful.
As far as firing people goes, that's a kind of a weird authority thing between the Office of Personnel Management and DOD. I think DOD might need some authorities in order to be able to fire people. What do you say about that? Do you think that it should change the who should directly be in charge of the hiring and firing of defense workers?
And for the most part, we we really think that the authorities are already there with proper due process to be able to remove program managers that aren't effective, and that you don't need to have changes to those due process procedures. You just need to see the backbone for the Secretary of Defense and others to actually remove people who aren't performing.
As far as the larger defense reforms that DoD's done in the past 2 years, how's POGO reacted to those, and what is your kind of stance on that?
So it's a mixed record on acquisition reform. And there was a recent Government Accountability Office report that found that though there has been some progress in controlling cost overruns for weapon systems, that we're starting to see backtracking on that. So really what happens with these reforms is going to depend on which officials are put in place at the Pentagon to lead them and how to implement these new changes. And that's where we get concerned about some of the nominees who are coming from the defense industry and wanting to make sure that they aren't part of the same swamp that has caused these problems before, and that they're going to really bring meaningful reforms to the department.
How much of a balance is there between acquisition reform and keeping in the right regulations? Right now, the defense acquisition rules are thousands and thousands of pages, but obviously some need to stay in there to keep people from paying off politicians and those kind of things. So how do you strike that balance between good acquisition regulations and reforming acquisitions so that the business marketplace is at least open enough for businesses to do what they need to do?
Right. No, it's important. And one of the problems that we've seen is in some cases where these contracts are far too large, it makes it so that you can't have adequate competition, because competition can be one of the best ways to make sure that you get good results for people. Congress and the department need to make sure that they're responsive to problems they identify, but that they aren't, you know, overhauling policy based on one instance and really thinking about how do you address systemic issues in a responsible way. Again, for us, we think it really just comes down to having the right people in place.
Right.
And the rest will kind of work itself out.
That's Mandy Smithberger, the director of the CDI Military Reform Forum, speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni. Share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.